Father, Lord, as we come into your presence today, Lord, we are thankful that you are that way, that truth, that life, that today we are transformed. God, our brokenness, our sin can be forgiven because you are the way, the truth, and the life. And Lord, I pray that as we know that transformation, as we know what you can do in our hearts and lives, that Lord, that we wouldn't just leave that alone, but that we would allow it to transform us day by day. And God, that we would listen to you, listen to your word, and we would follow you in each and every step. Lord, we give you all the thanks and praise, for you deserve it all. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, if you will, please take your Bibles to the book of James, chapter 1. James, chapter 1. This morning, I want to look at a few verses that describe for us our Father of Lights. Father of Lights. It's today being Father's Day. Sometimes these holidays can be some of the most difficult to try to plan and to preach because of where people come from. For Mother's Day and Father's Day, sometimes these are great joyful days, and sometimes these are days of great family, but you know, sometimes these days are hard. That there are those that have difficult times with these days because of different experiences in their life or hardness or hardships that they have gone through. And these days can be difficult. And especially it seems like when it comes to Father's Day. Because it seems like it's very easy and it's simple to really hammer the situation about fathers today. We know that the state of fatherhood is not what it used to be, and that there needs to be some reclamation there. But today, instead of us focusing on earthly fathers, I want us to see our Heavenly Father. And I want us to see the picture of who he is and what he does for us. And this passage describes him as the Father of Lights. Now, I need some help. Grayson, Jaden, if you guys would come here. As our gifts for our fathers today, I have learned that if you put the word tactical in front of it, fathers are going to love it. All right? So if all of our dads would stand up, we have a mini tactical flashlight. All right? Tactical flashlight. All right, guys, if you'll just walk around and please grab your own. All right. And so we can hopefully cut down some touch points there. But grab one and you can be seated. It's just a way for us to honor our dads and say thank you. But I hope that this is also a great picture. Now, I don't want to be seeing any Morse code through the sermon today. There is a strobe setting on these lights. I shouldn't have given Brad Griffin any ideas whatsoever. He was doing Popeye arms all last week as well. All right. You can just set them down there, guys. Thank you. All right. If you get your flashlight, you can be seated. You know, you can just sit right there. Thank you. You know, as we have Father's Day, you know, sometimes the greatest gifts are the gifts your kids make for you. And it starts off real nice and sweet. And you just love all the little cute things your kids do for you. And one year they took all their handprints and they layered them on top of each other. And it was real cute and everything. But you know what kids do? They grow up. And they get a little bit of an attitude. Now, I love Emmy is becoming artistic, and she's doing a great job, and and she loves to paint and loves to do things. And she made me a sign. And I thought I'd share it with you because I'm proud of it, even though it has an attitude. Because it says, one bad thing about dads. Now, she softens the blow because she puts a heart after that. The one bad thing about dads, they're jokes. Love, Emmy. So she softened the blow. But, you know, I do appreciate and I love her expressiveness, even though sometimes it's a little too honest. All right. But it's a great joy to have these days and to think about our fathers. But this morning, I want us to look at this passage about our Heavenly Father. And I want to bring out just a few quick things. In James chapter 1, verse 16, he says, do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Here in this passage, James, in just the way that the book is laid out and the way that James writes, he gives a lot of very wise statements and very wise sections in shorter bursts. And James, a lot of times, has been compared as kind of the New Testament book of Proverbs because of the amount of wisdom and different topics that he covers in his book. But we see in this section, in verse 16, it starts off, do not be deceived. And this is actually bringing together these two paragraphs, these two thoughts. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. What he had just finished talking about is how that there were some that were saying that they are tempted by God. In verse 13, he says, let no one say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. And so he had just talked about that and just given this teaching, and now he starts, do not be deceived. In other words, don't think of God as this one that is tempting you and bringing you to evil. God is not going to put something in front of you that looks good one moment, but later on down the road is going to change into something harmful. He's saying, don't be deceived. And then he gives us, in verse 17, this character of God. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow to change. Three things we see about the Father in this verse. The first thing is, we see the Father who gives. The Father who gives. And this is the way that this verse 17 begins. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Every good gift, every perfect gift. This is the exact opposite of being tempted with evil. James is setting the record straight. He's saying, listen, every good thing, every perfect thing, the completed idea, it is coming down from the Father. This is the Father who gives. And he's talking about the nature of the gifts. God is going to give you that which is good. And many times it's very grating when we hear people blame God for sin. God did not bring you to a point of sin. We see that earlier there where he says when man is drawn away of his own desire and he's conceived, it gives birth to sin and sin brings death. He's saying, listen, every good gift, every perfect gift comes from the Father. We see the nature of what God gives, and when God gives, he knows how to give. That was one of the things that my dad took great pride in when it came around to Christmas. You know, we didn't really get a lot through the year But when it came to Christmas, Dad would pull out all the stops. And I think him and my mom had a racket going because my mom was, you know, the math teacher. She was the finance person, and she would pour on this, you know, it's been a tight year this year. I just don't expect Christmas to be like it used to. You know, we're just trying to pull some things together this year. I just want to prepare you. And so, you know, you're, as a child, you're like, okay, Mom, it's okay. And your heart's breaking. And then Christmas morning comes and you come down and there is just this spread of stuff. And my dad would find stuff that I never knew existed, like the G.I. Joe aircraft carrier and space station. And I'd come down and all this stuff. And I was just like, and I know you're sitting there, man, he was spoiled as a little boy. Get over it. All right. So it was so much. And my dad enjoyed giving good gifts. He enjoyed that day of being able to watch what happened. And later on, as we got into video games, I kind of saw this because one Christmas he gave me one football game and he gave one of my brothers another football game. And I had really wanted this other football game, and I had shown a little bit of depression. And that's where some of the spoiling came out. But my dad, I could tell, felt bad that he got me the wrong game. Because he wanted to give the best gifts. And if that's what our earthly fathers are like, and what the joy it is now as a father to be able to give your kids the great gifts and to see them excited about it. If that's the joy as an earthly father, imagine our heavenly Father, and every gift and everything that he gives is good. It's perfect. And thank the Lord that he's the one who knows the perfect gift, because he gave it to us through his only begotten Son, that he knew the very thing that we needed above everything else, above anything this world has to offer. We needed salvation through Jesus Christ, and he gave us that good, imperfect gift. It's also in the tense of the words here, as it says, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. The word coming down here is in a present tense, and it's such a way that it's meaning a continual succession. In other words, these gifts keep coming. It's the Father who gives, and he keeps giving, and he keeps giving. And I tell you, when we have a breath to wake up the next day, we can thank the Lord that he keeps giving. We see the Father who gives. The second thing we see is the Father who creates. The Father who creates. Now we see this in the term, in the designation that James gives here for God the Father. He says, the Father of lights. And this is kind of interesting of how he would describe God the Father in this way. It's very unique. But what it is bringing out is it's bringing out creation. That this is the Father of lights, not just light, but lights. And it's bringing out the idea of this is the Father of the stars. This is the Father of the sun. This is the Father of the moon. This is the creator of all the lights. He's the one that spoke it into existence, that out of nothing he speaks, and that light speed goes and the stars are hung into place. And all the billions of stars that we see, and the brightness of the sun, that here is the Father, the one who created all of that. And in that beauty, and in that great plan that we see it's a Father who creates for us. We see it's the one that produces this. Not only does he produce the lights, but we also see through Scripture that light is that which exposes sin. He is the light of the world. And when we see that idea of light, not only in the physical light, but also spiritually, that he is the light, that he is that purity, he is that one that is that good and is exposing that sin, we have the opportunity to see who this God, this Father, who creates. And if you ever have the opportunity to see his creation and to see the wonders of it, it gives you such an appreciation I know I've told you before about the Grand Canyon or wherever it might be to be on a different place in the creation, in this world, and to see the different things. I was talking with someone yesterday and they were telling me about Hawaii and seeing the beauty of Hawaii and the beauty of the creation around them. There's been times, one family vacation we spent on Lake Cumberland in Kentucky on a houseboat. And there on the top of that houseboat, you just see the fog rising up off the lake in the morning and the beautiful scenery that's all around you. And you see that creation and you think, my Father knew what he was doing. He is creative. You know, I used to love that, even with my dad, who always would seem to come up with the most creative things. One Christmas, the Atari had come out, and this was pre-me, all right? I wasn't on the scene yet. This is for my older brothers. But Lance and Lee, they were all into the Atari, and Asteroids was the big game of the time, and they were just glued to it. Well, my grandmother had a florist business in Fort Worth, and she had this van that was no longer working, and it was parked in their driveway, and it was this big, you know, cargo van. It was empty. So my dad took, you know, one of those TVs that had the knobs that you had to turn, you know, and those things that stuck out the top. And he set it in that van, and he set the Atari all up, and he put some cardboard around, and he made it look like a spaceship. And then he sent my brothers out to the van. And they went out there and played Asteroids for hours, thinking they were in a spaceship. I think he was a genius because he knew I can get them out of the house, right? Get some quiet. But I, even growing up, I remember that he would take some of the simplest things and create something so memorable. It might seem like a small thing, but I remember sometimes on Sunday nights be laying there with him, and as he was recovering from the day, and then we'd have a little gum wrapper. And he would take that little gum wrapper, like from Double Mint or Juicy Fruit, he'd take that and he would make it into a little cup. And we would read the comics, and he'd make funny voices, and he'd read the comics to me, and then he'd sit there with that just made out of a piece of trash, little cup, and act like he was spilling it on himself. And I just thought it was the funniest thing in the world. And so you see all those little memories of how your father creates. I'll tell you, one of my proudest moments is it's always fun when you get to do that for your kids. We were in Junction at the time. Hayden was about 3-4 years old, into Thomas the Train. And it was everywhere. And so one of my days off, we took all the tracks. We dumped it in the living room. And I made this big track all over the living room, all over the places. Nicole was thrilled. And I was sitting there watching it. And Hayden was just in excitement. He came and said, Dad, you're the best dad ever. And you don't forget it. Those are those times when you get a chance to create. And here we look, we see this Father of lights. He is our creator. When we wonder about all that's going on in our life, we know that we have a Father who is our creator. He knows our frame. He knows what we are. He knows what we're made of. He is the Father of lights. He is the creator. And it gives us the chance to create in his example. The third thing we see is that this is the Father who remains. It says the Father of lights in verse 17, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. The Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow due to change. And the word choice is used very particularly. Variation and shadow. That comes from earthly lights. We see that the sun casts a shadow. We know that through the day, the shadow is going to change. And we know that at some points, our shadow is going to be large. And some points, our shadow is going to be small, because the shadow changes with the changing of time. But when we look to our Heavenly Father, there is no variation. There is no shadow of change. He is shadowless because he doesn't change one bit. And in a world that seems to be changing by the minute, we have a heavenly Father who's the same. His love hasn't changed. While you might have changed, some for the better, some for the worse, his love for you hasn't. While we might have changed our thoughts and our opinions, and while we might change our beliefs and our views, his truth hasn't changed. He is the same. There is no variation. There is no changing. And thank goodness, because if we went with all the changes, one day we're going to be over here, the next day we're going to be over here. One day you're going to be able to eat bacon, the next day it's bad for you, now it's really good for you. Make up your mind. Really, I don't care. I'm going to eat it anyway. But with all the change that's going on back and forth, our Father never changes. He remains. And as we look at the world around us, we know that at times that there is a bad example that seems to be promoted of a changing of the fatherhood. But yet in our Father, he's the one who remains. He is shadowless. He's reliable. He's that fixture and that good gift, that perfect gift. As he gives it, there is no change. He doesn't give us something that looks good for 1 minute and then later on down the road, it's going to be terrible. That is what sin does. Sin looks pleasurable for a season. It looks good for a season, but then it changes and its destruction comes with it. But with the Father, there is the good gifts. There are those things that are a fixture. They're reliable. And when God gives it, when God the Father grants it, we know that we can trust him that it's going to remain, that it's going to be good, that our salvation in him is sure. This verse 17 is just packed with these ideas about the Father. And as we see this teaching of the Father that James is giving us in between these verses, I want you to see how James is presenting that fatherhood. As he's presenting who God the Father is. And it shows us that that fatherhood should produce a flourishing future. That fatherhood should produce a flourishing future. Future. Why? Because it's not marked by deception. Verse 16, do not be deceived. This is not coming from the father of lies. This is not coming from the devil who is the king of deception. And he's telling them, listen, I don't want you to be deceived. There is no deception in him. He does not want you to be tricked. He wants you to flourish. And that's where verse 18 comes in. Of his own will, of his design, of his choice, he chose to bring us forth from the word of truth that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. That God in his wisdom and all of who he is, it is this perfect gift, this good gift that he's given to us through Jesus Christ, that we should be brought forth by his word of truth. And there's the contrast to the deception. This is the bookends of verse 17. Don't be deceived, because the Father of lights gives us the word of truth. We're not deceived. We stand on the word of truth because the Father who doesn't change, who creates, who gives, wants you to flourish. 2 Peter 3:9 tells us that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants us to flourish. It's not marked by that deception. So as we stand here on Father's Day, as earthly fathers, and we see this model of our heavenly Father, as earthly fathers, let us model the heavenly. Let us model what Christ through his Father has done for us. Let us model how to give those good gifts. Let us model how to create for those around us. Let us model how to remain, to be that fixture, to be steadfast in a world that's constantly changing. Be a fixture, not a counterfeit. A counterfeit looks like it has value, but we find out there is no value there. As earthly fathers, let's model the heavenly fathers. But sadly today, there are many that go through this life with no earthly fathers present. Some might not even know who their earthly father is. And when that is the case, we know that they're still the heavenly father. That he knows how to take that place. Psalms 103 verse 13 says, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. And even when we are missing that earthly father, we know we have a heavenly father that is there for us, who said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. We will always have that provision. Every good gift, every perfect gift, it's from above. Coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow to change. Shall we stand? This morning, just there with your heads bowed, as we have a moment here to just reflect. Here on Father's Day, I pray that you see the goodness of our Heavenly Father. He gives good gifts. And for all of us here today, he gave us victory over sin. He gave us life everlasting through his Son, Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning, and if you've never accepted that gift, if you need to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and understand what the Father has given to you through that, I want to ask you here as we sing in just a moment, come meet us down front. We want to share with you how to know Jesus Christ, how to know what the Father has given to you and how he can be your Heavenly Father. And if you know that Heavenly Father this morning, for all of our earthly fathers, let's model what he's done for us. Let's give. Let's create, let's remain. Let's produce a fatherhood that produces flourishing, stability. And let's be thankful. And maybe this morning you're missing your father. I pray that you would be thankful, that you would rest in that heavenly father that loves you, that cares for you, who is there for your flourishing. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, what an incredible privilege it is to know you, to be loved by you. And Lord, I pray that even on this day, this Father's Day, that it would be meaningful to us of who our Heavenly Father is. Lord, as we have this time of response, I pray that your Spirit could work on us, Lord. If there's someone that needs to make that decision today, that you give them strength. And Lord, I pray that you would work in this time as only you can. And we'll give you the thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. The altar's open.